Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Have you ever been going somewhere and you hear a little voice from the back seat pipe up and say, "Are we there yet?" And I'm sure each one of us that have children have heard that at some time in our life. And probably at some time in our life, when we were younger, we may have done the same thing. And we may still even do it once in a while. You know, you get on a trip and you get tired and, man, are we ever going to be there? Are we ever going to be there? Especially when you're on a trip that, you know, lasts for several hours or longer, and you've only been gone 10 minutes. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my family's annual vacation was usually a trip from California to Arkansas. That's what we always had to look forward to in the summertime, that trip to Arkansas and back. And that was back before the days of the interstates. So you had a lot of two-lane highway, old U.S. 66. And it was a long, tiring trip. And my dad didn't believe for stopping for anything except for gas and maybe once in a while to grab a hamburger. And that was about it. So we could make that trip leaving on Friday night. We'd be there by sometime Sunday afternoon because he basically just didn't stop. So it was a long trip, and when I was younger, I kind of inherited that trait from him. I didn't like to stop either, and it can sometimes just about do you in. But I remember on one of the trips, and it was probably one of the first ones we made, we'd left our home, and we'd headed out on our trip to Arkansas, and we'd gotten up onto what is now old U.S. 66, Foothill Boulevard in Southern California. And my sister pipes up from the back seat, "Are we there yet?" And we'd only been gone about half hour, 45 minutes maybe. And I'm sure that along the line I heard that, "Are we there yet?" several times. And then as we got, and I remember quite vividly, on Sunday morning, it was probably around 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that, my dad says, "Well, we just crossed from Oklahoma into Arkansas and or something like that." And or maybe my sister just stood up. Maybe my memory's not as good as I thought it was. I remember now my sister stood up and she looked around out there. She said, "Well, this looks like Arkansas to me. Where's Grandma?" You know, I'm not sure if we were in Arkansas or Oklahoma, but she had decided it must be Arkansas and where is Grandma, because we get impatient about things. And as a kid especially, you got tired of being cooped up in the back seat. And it's not like the kids today that sit back there in the back seat and they've got a TV, they've got DVDs that play, they've got computers and computer games and all this stuff. Well, shoot, some of them don't even want to get out of the car when they get there now, you know, because they're all wrapped up in what's going on around them there. But one of the problems that children seem to have, and not only children, but adults as well, I don't care how old you are, is sometimes patience. We have a problem a lot of times with patience. And we sometimes get bored easily. This is just taking too long. And we talk about in church sometimes, and sometimes we look out and we, especially, you know, we look out and we see somebody that's doing like this or looking at their watch. Or the really good ones are the ones that turn around and look at the back wall to see the clock. And you really know that they're getting impatient. And I remember when I was a teenager that we had a guest speaker at the church I was going to, and I was seated in the balcony with some of the other young men about my age from the church, one of them being the pastor's son. And we had a long-winded missionary that Sunday. And he was into hour number two at that point. And the pastor's son took his watch up and held it up and did like that. I don't know what happened after the service, but I know if I'd have done that, I probably wouldn't be standing here today because my life would have ended. You know, that would have been it for me. But we become impatient. And we want things to move along at the pace we want it to move along at. The Apostle James, writing in the book of James in chapter 5 and verses 1 through 6, and we're not going to really go there, but he's talking to some people about things that are going on around them in the in that era. And in this, he just starts talking about patience because he tells them you need to be patient here. And then I want to go into verse 7 here, though. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." And I want to stop in that verse, then I want to skip down to verse 8. He says, "But be ye also patient, therefore, and settle your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." Well, Jesus, when he ascended back into the heavens, about 40 days after his resurrection, two angels made an appearance, and we read about it in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And these two angels, which it describes as men robed in white, says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now, Jesus has been there. His ministry's been about 3 years long. And he's told them a lot of things. And he's talked to them a lot about things that are to come. And now as time has come that he said, "I've got to leave you. I've got to go back to my Father's house. I've got to go back and prepare a place for you." And the time has come that he ascends back into heaven. And because of what Jesus had spoken to them and the things that he had told them, the early church fully expected that Jesus was probably going to be coming back anytime, you know, very soon, maybe in the next couple of days. Now, he had told them to go tarry in Jerusalem and not leave Jerusalem till for a particular period of time. And, of course, as we talked about it a few weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday, we know that the Feast of Pentecost was coming up and that they had to be there anyway. And we also know what happened on that day as the Holy Spirit descended upon those that were gathered in the upper room. And I sometimes wonder if maybe they didn't think, well, okay, now all of this has happened. Surely Jesus is going to be back any day now. And time went on. And they're looking for Jesus to come back. Well, Jesus knew that this was going to happen, and he had even warned the disciples before his crucifixion, because he told them in Matthew chapter 24, verses 24 through 26, he says, "For thou shalt arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so if that were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, if he is in the secret places, believe it not.'" He knew that they were going to be expecting him to come back. He knew that they were going to be looking for him to come back any day. And he's warning them, hey, just because somebody says he's over here or he's over there, don't fall for it. And we have had people for the last 2,000 years almost that have come around sometimes and claimed to be Christ. I remember when I was a kid, and I was probably around 10 years of age, maybe 11, possibly. There was a guy in Southern California that claimed to be Jesus. And he had attracted quite a following. Well, pretty soon some disgruntled husband of one of his congregants or his followers decided he was going to prove the guy wasn't Jesus and blew up the house the guy was in. But we've had people like this all the time. You still hear of them. There was Father Divine who claimed to be God. We've had people claiming to be someone they are not. They are trying to fool people into believing that Jesus has returned. But you know, Jesus told us that when he comes back, we're going to know it. We're going to know it. If you're a Christian, you're going to know it. And we've preached this message for roughly 1900 plus years that Jesus is coming back. We've taught, and the expectation has been that Jesus was coming back soon. In fact, they might have even asked the questions back in that time, are we there yet? If they had thought of it in that direction, they might have thought, well, is Jesus here yet? Is he coming back yet? When will it be? Do you think it'll be tomorrow? And probably they may have sat around and had conversations. Do you think it will be this day or that day? Now, Jesus had already told them, you're not going to know the day nor the hour. But he'd also told them there were signs that they would be able to see and all of this stuff. And I remember as I was a youngster still, my dad and one of my great uncles sitting around talking about, when is Jesus coming back? And this was in the early 50s. And the state of Israel had just been born in 1948. And they're talking about, and I remember my uncle saying, well, Israel's a nation now. The Jews are going home. Jesus is coming back any time now. Well, let's see, that's been 60-some years ago now. I guess I kind of dated myself there a little bit, but it's been a long time. Jesus is still not here. I remember as we preached in the 50s and the 60s, and specifically, we were preaching that Jesus was coming back. We were looking for him to return. He is going to come back. He's coming soon. We sang songs like, he's coming soon. And songs of that nature. And yet, here we are. He's still not come back. I remember as we grew up, as I grew up in the Pentecostal movement, hearing numerous sermons regarding the coming of Jesus and the rapture of the church. And yet those years have passed and he's not returned as of this immediate time. And in many cases that message has been replaced. It's been replaced by a social gospel, a how-to-get-rich gospel, or whatever fad is currently popular. You turn on the TV and watch some of the churches on, and I shouldn't say church, some of the, let's put it this way, the televangelists, as that's what everybody likes to call them. You watch some of them, and if you do what I tell you to do, you're going to get rich. If you do what I tell you to do, you're going to have success in this area. If you do what I tell you to do, you're going to have this happen for you. And nothing is hardly being missed about the fact that Jesus is coming. It seems like really the world wants to ignore the fact that Jesus is coming. And yet it's kind of interesting. Islam is teaching very much that their Mahdi, their false Christ, is coming and he's coming soon. We're getting ready to set up his kingdom. We're getting ready to do this. We're here to help usher in our Savior. You see, the doors for the false Christ are being trumpeted all over the place. They're letting the world know that he's about to be here, and we as Christians, born again believers in Jesus Christ, are sitting back and just letting it go over our head and he hadn't come for 2,000 years. And I understand that we have to live in the world. If we want to eat, we better have a job or some source of income. And we better go out and buy groceries. We need to take care of our family and we need to pay our bills. Because some groups have thought Jesus was coming back and they went and sat on a mountaintop somewhere, didn't pay their bills, went out and read up their credit card debts and all that stuff. Because Jesus is going to come back and I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Boy, did they get a rude awakening. I realize we live in the world. And in the real world, we have to do those things. But we need to live like he's going to be back any moment. We need to prepare like he's going to be back any moment. We need to let people know that he's coming back. Yeah. instead of telling them how to get rich. Follow me. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Some people today say, follow me and I'll help you get rich, or I'll lead you to fame or fortune or whatever. But nothing about the being fishers of men part. The church has become like the foolish virgins in the parable found in Matthew chapter 25. And if you remember that story, there were 10 virgins that were waiting to go into a wedding feast, and it says five, they all brought lamps. All of them had some oil in their lamps when they got there. But five of them, it says, brought some extra oil just in case. It took a while. Because you see, if you go back and you read the history, when they got there, they didn't know exactly what time they were going to go in to the wedding feast. They didn't know what time the bridegroom was going to be there. So five went prepared to wait a while. Five didn't. The Bible tells us that they went to sleep. Lamps went out. Noised, the bridegroom cometh. Five wise had the extra oil, put the oil in their lamp, and they were ready to go. Five that didn't have the extra oil, they're in trouble. Their light's out, and there's no place to get oil at that time of the day. And besides, by the time they can go somewhere and find it, it's too late. The door's closed. Church has kind of become like that today because our lamp has gone out and we don't have any extra oil. We no longer sing songs that reflect upon the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to talk about other things. We want to sing happy songs that will make people feel good. And there's nothing wrong with feeling good. I like for people to feel good. I don't want them to feel bad. But sometimes to get the truth across to people and to wake them up, you've got to make them feel bad. If you're sitting out there and you're listening to me and I'm preaching about Jesus Christ is coming soon and you're not a Christian, you're probably going to feel bad. Because you need to know that Jesus is coming soon, and the only way you're going to go is if he's in your heart. You've got that oil, so to speak, that extra oil. You've got Jesus in your heart. We no longer gather around the altars and pray until we hear from God. And that applies to this church as well. I was looking back, and some friends of mine posted some pictures from the church I grew up in. It was an altar service, and it was young people, particularly in this picture, gathered around the whole front of the church in prayer during the altar service. Now you go to church, you don't see young people doing that. You don't see older people doing that. You don't see hardly anybody doing it. We need to seek God more. We need to pray until we hear from God. But the question we generally ask is, is it time to leave yet? We no longer ask, are we there yet? You know, when I was, and I've told you about when I was called into the ministry, I was about 14 years of age. And I remember it was the church that I was attending, my parents were attending at that time, had sold their property, and they'd moved into an old storefront. And it was not much wider than what one section of row of pews here in this church is. And I was kneeling at an old, beat-up wooden folding chair after the church service. You see, we got things from God, and God answered our prayer because we sought God. And I was kneeling there, and praying, and God spoke to my heart, called me into the ministry. And I've told you how he called me and said, I want you to be a last days preacher. And I think I told this church here several years back how my ministry never went in what the direction I thought it was going to go in from the way God called me. Because I thought, well, if I'm going to be a last days preacher, man, I'm going to be preaching prophecy and I'm going to be preaching this and that, having all to do with these things and prophetic signs and stuff. Ministry never went that way. And a few years back, I was asking God, how come? If you told me I was going to be a last days preacher, how come it's never gone this way? And he spoke to me. You know, when God speaks to you and you're a Christian, you'll know it's God speaking. Because he speaks to your heart. And he spoke to me and he said, and if I could put it in kind of a little humorous language here in the way that I almost understood it, was, oh, you dummy. I never said you were going to teach prophecy. I never said any of that. I said, I called you to be a preacher, a last days preacher. I meant a preacher in the last days. And friend, we're living in the last days. Now I know those people that really sought God 50 years ago were living in the thought they were living in the last days. But guess what? We're 50 years closer. Living in the last days. Well, I don't have to ask the question, are we there yet? Because I know the moment is at hand. I also know in God's timetable, his time way of doing things is a little bit different than what we expect, you know. For him, 10 years is a drop in the bucket. It's a flash. And for us, it seems like it's taken a while. But I know it's at hand. I know he's coming soon. And I have sometimes thought, well, you know, how much closer is it? Never heard anybody that's had that type of experience where God spoke to them and told them you're going to be a last days preacher, which means you're going to be preaching in the last. And I've thought about something since the last 2 years. I've had a lot of things to think about, quite honestly. Because as most of you here know, that 2 years ago I was in the hospital and there was real concern among the doctors and everybody else if I was going to go out alive. And back when they sent me home, they still didn't know that. They just sent me home because there was nothing else they could do. And I remember the doctor and some other people telling my wife and family members, well, God's not through with you yet then apparently, because we've never seen this happen before. And God's got me here for a purpose. He told me I was going to be a preacher in the last days. And I think he's keeping me here. And I'll be honest with you, I've always felt that I was going to be alive when the rapture took place. So I got one thing on my side right now, because I know that time's running out. Because it can't be a whole lot longer, if that's the case. Well, I'd really never had any kind of independent confirmation from some other source about anything like this until just this past week, really. And I've been in contact with a friend of mine who's in the ministry that I knew back when we were both teenagers. And he's went through a lot. In fact, he's already been to heaven and back. Spent 14 minutes, I think it was, there. And as I was corresponding with him about that this past week, he told me basically the same thing, that he was a last days preacher. We're preaching in the last days. You know, I don't like to get into debates with people about stuff that really doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that Jesus is coming back and you've got to be ready. So I don't really wish to debate pre-trib or mid-trib. And I don't want to get into disagreements with people about it. He's going to come. I know that. Whichever one it is, he's going to be here. And yes, I believe in pre-trib. Some may not. But I believe he's coming back, and I believe his time is at hand. By the way, if you believe in mid-trib, you're only 3.5 years difference from what I believe anyway. So, in God's time, that's still meaningless almost. His return is at hand. We know that. And we need to be telling everyone we're almost there. You know, some of the world is really, in a way, asking, are we there yet? Because the world knows something is going on. The world knows something is about to happen. They sense that things can't go on the way they are a whole lot longer. We've got some crazy people in the world today that have access to some very powerful weapons. I understand that, and I really don't know what type of weaponry the North Koreans have, but I understand this past week that whatever his name is, the current guy in charge there in North Korea, who Dennis Rodman thinks is the greatest thing on earth, has told us that if they release a certain movie, he's going to retaliate with weapons of war. And guess what? It only takes one strike to set the whole thing in motion. One crazy person that's got this finger on the right button to blow the whole thing up. We know, Christian or not, things can't go on the way they are a whole lot longer. And Jesus has said that he's coming soon. The day is at hand. And I know some of you here, some of you older folks here, have heard the message preached when you were younger, Jesus was coming soon. And you stop back, and like a lot of other people say, it's been preached for 50 years, it's been preached for 100 years, it's been preached for 500 years, it's been preached for almost 2,000 years that Jesus is coming back soon. And where is he? He said he's coming back. I believe he's coming back. And we need to be living like he's coming back. And as we get older, we tend to think about the fact that our days are numbered. The younger folks tend to think about they have a long time ahead of them. They don't like to think about, oh, in so many years I'll be that older person. But I want you to think about this. To live, we must breathe. I know Steve here has a problem breathing. He has to wear oxygen sometimes. I have a little bit of a problem breathing at times. But to live, we've got to breathe. To live, we've got to have a heartbeat. If our heart stops beating within seconds, we're gone. We, regardless of our age, live one breath, one heartbeat away from eternity. Most people don't stop to think about that. Oh, I'm young. I'm 20 years old. I've got a long life ahead of me. I know if you're 80 years old, you don't quite think exactly the same way. But we still think about, I still got time left. But we all live one breath, one heartbeat away from eternity. Not all of us will go up in the rapture in the sense that some of us will go by the way of the grave. What I mean there is we're not all going to be alive. And I'm only talking about Christians who have Jesus in their heart. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not going to go up in the rapture anyway. You will have missed the bus. The question is not are we there yet? The real question is, are you ready? That's the question we need to ask. Are you ready? And I think even as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, are we ready? Because I know sometimes as Christians even, we start to fall away and we start to fail. We get slack and we get casual about it. And we need to make sure that we've got our own act and house in order. Because he's coming soon. Are you ready? And if you're listening to me by the internet or some other means, and you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm here to tell you the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. And the way to become a Christian is really quite simple. I know sometimes we like to make it complicated and give you all kinds of formulas and this, that, and the other that you've got to do. But it's simply a matter of fact that believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and believing that if you ask him to come into your heart, he will do so. And then just simply say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Savior. Or something like that. That's how simple it is. He didn't make it hard. He wanted to make it so anybody would be able to do it. He's already paid the price. I just thought of something there. Sometimes we pay for stuff. We go purchase something, we pay for it, and we come back later and pick it up. He's paid the price. He's coming back to give what he's paid for. And it's going to be soon. Father, I thank you today that you loved us so much that you did send Jesus to die on the cross for us, that you made the way of salvation possible for us. And Father, help us to be asking that question, are you ready? Are you ready? Because we know truly that the day is at hand. We thank you for what you're going to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.